Today's passage is Psalm 145, which can be found on page 524 of the Church Bibles. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him and to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
Helga, thanks for reading. And hello, my name's Kev. I'm the senior minister at Euston Church. If you're new with us, great to have you with us. And so thrilling and touching, really, that some of you came back for our 15-year anniversary. Wonderful that you've made the effort to do that. We keep calling you old-timers. You all look quite young still, you ones who've left. You should have come this morning. Some proper old war horses from the past of Euston Church, the vintage wines of Euston Church, were here in force this morning. And it's great we've had all these videos, but it's not always been that slick. You know the bit where the bishop was writing out a certificate for us? That was him writing our license to operate in this parish, so an important document. Unfortunately, we mistakenly ended up putting it in the bin by the end of the evening, so that wasn't very good. And then there was the year end. Do you remember when it must have been me got the wrong dates for Freshers' Week? We had the bouncy castle outside there a week early, so five-year-old Rory and me had a wonderful evening with no pesky students getting in the way. And then there was the time we had to fight for our space at the Institute of Education with a Russian supermodel competition that was also going on. It was very confusing for newcomers to Euston Church who thought they'd arrived for our inaugural Russian supermodel competition. Anyway, 780 Sundays later, here we are, and it's not very long in the history of churches, but it's great that we can mark the occasion, partly to thank the Lord. It is faith strengthening to look back on work that God has done among us. And partly we're marking this to pray for people who've been through the church over the years. We had a great prayer meeting on Tuesday, praying by name for a whole bunch of you who've left. And then this anniversary is a chance for us to re-envision all of us about what the people of God are, or what we're here for, basically, here in London and around the world. So I hope this is useful, whether it's your week one or week 781. I picked Psalm 145 for this one-off. I think summed up why, because of verse 3, because great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Not great is Euston Church, great is the Lord. It's all about him. And greatly to be praised. That's our mission. That's your mission. Whether you're here in London or wherever, you're a Christian. And maybe you're brand new, maybe you just walked in and you're thinking, my goodness, church is even weirder than I imagined it was going to be. Well, I hope that this psalm will give you a sense of reality, because this is reality. And I hope you want to live in what's really real. Reality is the Lord is great and he's greatly to be praised. And I get that that's controversial. You know, when I was a trainee lawyer over in the city, a colleague, Tom, agreed to read John's Gospel with me. But Tom hit a stumbling block on this question of God and his glory. It really grated him that God would need so much praise. Does God need it all to be about him in a needy way? C.S. Lewis was one who struggled with the idea that God would be so demanding of our praise, but he came to terms with it as he reflected. He said, the world rings with praise. Walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game, praise of weather, wines, dishes, actors, motors, horses, historical personages, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles, even sometimes politicians. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't it glorious? Didn't you think it magnificent? My whole difficulty about the praise of God depended on my absurdly denying to us, as regards the supremely valuable, what we delight to do, what we indeed can't help doing about everything else we value. In other words, we praise all the time. Praising God's not something he needs in a needy way. It's giving him his rightful due. Praise of him recognizes reality. And these psalms, the psalms speak into a world of lies. Psalm 144, just before this one, full of the falsehood and the lies, because there's been a smear campaign basically ripping through the world since the Garden of Eden. Our youngest daughter, she demands my phone all the time at the moment. She wants to look at photos of herself. I want to see me. That's the kind of, it's just so, I want to see me. And I don't give her the phone. You know why? Because I'm looking at pictures too of myself. I want to see me as well. And that's not a grumble about the modern generation or technology. It's just this smear campaign that we've all been believing. Me at the center, him off my case, and sin. You know the way it just kind of curves us in on ourselves in all kinds of ways that are destructive and unhealthy as we ignore and don't praise him. Psalm 145, it says, stop looking down at your phone, at yourself. Stop believing the lies. Wake up. Look up and praise God. In other words, get your heart and your mind and your lips back into the reality of who is actually praiseworthy around here. So much confusion out there, isn't there? And anger and anxiety. Charlie Kirk this week, awful. It seemed to be toxic, dangerous times that we live in. Psalm 145 is a reality check. Because the fight back against the smear campaign is on. And one day the lies about God will be completely defeated by a chorus of universal praise. Verse 21, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. That's our job right now. And then in the future, well, all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Forever won't just be a new creation in the sense of a really nice place to be. The future is the new creation gathered around a king, Jesus, who is so great to the power of infinity that eternity will never exhaust your capacity to talk about how great he is. Do you believe that? Verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. That's a good way of breaking down this psalm. So that's how we'll look at it. First, great is the Lord. Well, his mighty acts, verse 4. His wondrous works, verse 5. The might of his awesome deeds, verse 6. Now, I said this was a one-off, but in a way it's not really, because we've been going through a summer series through book 5 of the Psalms. We started at the beginning, Psalm 107. And I was down, but now I'm up. If you were here, you might remember that. And there was this repeated refrain in that psalm about the Lord's wondrous works for the children of man. Sounds quite a common phrase. It's actually only really there around Psalm 107. and then repeated here at the end of book 5. And back there in 107, it said we were wandering refugees. He led us out of our lostness. It said we were guilty prisoners of death and judgment. He loosened the chains. It said we were in self-destruct mode. The phrase in that psalm was that we had shunned his counsel. That's a kind of polite way of saying, what do you know, God? Totally ignored his word. And do you know what? God in his kindness, it says, imagine it, after we just ignored him completely, sent us a word of healing, it called it there. We try to put this at the center of our church life, not because we're booky people, because it's healing, the soothing balm of the word of God. Not full healing in a broken world, but a path to healing, not hell. Great is the Lord. And then back in our Psalm 145, verse 8 takes us to a specific moment. I don't know if you remember when God first said verse 8. It was just after the golden calf. We were in Exodus again last year for our small groups. The golden calf, I mean, I don't know if you were here, I don't know what your group made of it, our group. I mean, what a bunch of, there's a Scottish word, dunderhead, you know. What a bunch of dunderheads those idiots were. And yet how quickly I believe the lies like them. How quickly, like them, I could revert back to proper spiritual self-destruct. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Abounding. Steadfast love, that marital love, and slow to anger. Yes, for sure, he's a God of right wrath, but his disposition is slowness when it comes to anger. Aren't you, well, just relieved about that, personally? Verse 9, the Lord is good. The smear campaign says he's not good. But verse 14 and following really smash those lies in the most gentle, lovely way. Verse 14 or following, the great Lord up there, he's actually down here giving and, well, opening his hand, verse 16, it's so lovely, like you might hold out feed towards a little animal. You open your hand, you satisfy the desires of every living thing. So many ways that the Lord has opened his hand in kindness to us as a church over these last 15 years. Practical stuff, buildings, money, people, gifts. The miracle here is he's kind to every living thing, whether they trust him or not. My dad has a friend called Graham who has a house in South Africa, and he'd been saying to my dad, oh, you must come out to this house. So eventually my dad went out to see him. Graham's a self-made businessman, not a Christian, not interested. And while he was there, my dad was giving me updates about his attempts to speak to Graham about Jesus. At one point, the two of them were overlooking this beautiful scene in Cape Town. I've never been, some of you will have, you know, the beaches, the mountains. And my dad is a wonderfully natural but totally untrained personal evangelist. So rather than saying, Graham, do you ever look at the natural world and think there must be a God? You know, the kind of thing I would have said if I'd been feeling brave. My dad just launched into praying out loud in front of his non-Christian mate there. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful place. How great you are. Thank you for my friend Graham here. Even though he doesn't believe in you, you've blessed his life and you've given him everything he has. Well, Graham has 4 homes. And my dad was teasing him to try and remember how many cars he owns. He couldn't remember. They got to 19 cars that Graham has around the world in various places. And at one point he says to my dad, why do I need your God? Look at all I have. The tragedy of not knowing who to thank. The tragedy of thinking that you somehow produced all these blessings by your own hand. And the end of verse 20 might sound shocking in this context where it's all loveliness. The wicked he destroys. Well, the shock is God's ongoing kindness to all in a world where he's so ignored. Slow to anger, though. gives more time for people to call on his name. Yahweh, verse 19, he hears their cry and saves them. Yeah, we will be offended at the thought of him getting all the glory if we're not clear on this reality check. David knew his creatureliness, and he was humble about his spiritual need, and it drove him to praise. And my prayer, one of my prayers for the next 15 years, is that even more we will be singing and meaning from the heart, great is the Lord. His greatness is unsearchable. He's so kind, isn't he? Creative and giving and faithful and merciful to the undeserving and slow to anger and mighty to save. And from that place then, he's greatly to be praised. All this about the Lord is fuel for praise of the Lord. That's what David wants to lead us in. Verse 1, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. That's our job. Big him up. Not prop him up. He is this big already. But it's the mission of the saints to make known to the children of man his mighty deeds. It's actually what we've been saved for. Again, right back at the start of book 5, Psalm 106, save us, gather us, that we might thank and praise. God's strategy for the fight back in a world full of lies. But we're the strategy, his people, with a story to tell among the nations. And the language here in this psalm, you know, the church of God is clearly not a silent disco. You ever been to one of those silent discos? A bit weird, aren't they? Old people love them, apparently. I don't know why old people love them. Anyway, this is not a silent disco. The doing words, extol, bless, praise, commend, speak, declare, down the generations. And as we do that, others join the chorus. Verse 7, they shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and sing aloud of your righteousness. Notice it's in proportion to his greatness. If we get his abundant bubbling over goodness, it's supposed to bubble forth abundantly out of us. Verse 10, all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord. Well, they don't at the moment, not all of them. But call the children of man to wake up to reality. This is the real world. So speak, tell, make known. Verse 21, my mouth will speak of the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. It doesn't mean they will all believe in yet. The fight back is on, though. Victory is assured. And one day the lies about God will be defeated by that chorus of universal praise. So do your job now, Church of God. Our job, it's 1 Peter if you know it. You know, we're made into a holy people that we may proclaim his excellencies. And I think it's important to say, it is a disciplined Christian praise. I didn't mention earlier, this is one of those acrostic psalms. You know, it's an A to Z. Each line starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's like David has sat down and thought about it. You know, 20 things about the Lord, A, B. And verse 5 suggests that's exactly what he's done as it talks about him meditating. In other words, thinking about what's great about God. You know, it's so easy to see things like evangelism as a guilt trip. A training, strategy, that's all great. But the whole thing really begins in here, doesn't it? And in here, I was thinking maybe we should start calling it just praise instead of evangelism. It might make it feel more natural. And likewise, the other words we use, ministry, Bible teaching, mission, great. They all have their place, but they could sound a bit functional. It's all praise. Call them all praise, really. We're all the praise speakers of Euston Church. And the training? You want training? Well, verse 5 is the training. Sit down and for 5 minutes think about his wondrous works. It's the George Mueller thing, if you've heard of him. You know that old orphanage bloke from Bristol? Really good beard, if you've seen the pictures. He said his first duty every day was to have his soul happy in the Lord He's not talking about working himself up into some ecstatic state. He means thinking about the Lord. And I was just mulling this week, you know, obviously we've failed as a church in lots of ways. We'll fail you. And I'm not saying it as a woe to me thing. It just, of course we have. And if you've left, you may feel like your new church is weaker on some things than Euston Church. If you're new, you may feel Euston Church is weaker on some things than your previous church. I'm struck in the Psalms that as well as the corporate, it's personal. And verse 5 is a person who is, well, taken personal responsibility for their spiritual life. We'll try and set the tone on that. But there aren't perfect churches. And so, can I ask you, have you cultivated and kept cultivating the habit of sitting down and thinking about the steadfast love of the Lord for you? Asking him to grip you again by with his wondrous works. And then from that place, heading out into the day to pour forth and speak of him. I was talking to the leaders, the small groups, about this yesterday. It's a bit of a prayer and dream that I have for us as a church for this year and every year, that all of our mission, ministry, evangelism, whatever you want to call all of that stuff, that it would all flow from a deepening personal affection and conviction that great is the Lord. And I know that's not easy. It's not easy on the ordinary days. Maybe you're brand new in your workplace, you know. Ah, scary thought to be someone commending the Lord here. And it's not easy on the tough days either. But do you know what? Some of the most powerful praise pours forth from God's people who still declare his goodness in the pit and through the tears. And one of the biggest ways I've grown as a Christian in these last 15 years at Euston Church is through the privilege of witnessing the way some of you have kept praising him from that place of weakness. It's amazing. Always challenges in the Christian life and church life and mission, but let's pray. Let's keep praying for our ministry. You know, the next generation that we're meant to be commending him to, they're arriving here as we speak, new to jobs in central London. The freshers, did you see the marquee they put up in Gorham Square? That wasn't for our 15th party. That's for the freshers that are going to team into it over these next few weeks. It's still so exciting, this global harvest field that's literally on our doorstep. Most of them curved in on themselves, clueless about what's really praiseworthy, longing for significance and meaning. Well, it's the job of God's saints to make known to the children of man. He opens his hand to feed all of them. Thankfully, he's slow to anger. Still time for them to call on him. If only they'll look up from their phone. Hard to look up from our phones, isn't it? To look up from ourselves. Well, wake up. Look up, people of God, because reality every day of the journey is that he is the praiseworthy one. And the best is yet to come, because the future is a place of all flesh blessing his name forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray.
Let's pray together. Great you are, and greatly to be praised, and your greatness is unsearchable. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, whose mercy is over all that he has made. We thank you for your mighty works and that we can meditate on them in the Bible. Thank you for your mightiest work, for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to take the punishment we deserve so that we might have a new relationship with you. We pray that we would grow in fear and love for you as we see the great power of your works. Thank you that you are a great provider, that you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. We praise you that you are near to all who call on you in truth, and that Jesus calls us to ask, seek, and knock, and that the door will be opened. Help us to remember how you have provided for us in our own lives, and how you have called us out of darkness into your light at such great cost. We thank you that we'll be praising your holy name forever in heaven. And we pray that you would help us to continue to praise your name in our daily lives, individually and corporately, now, and help us to speak of your glory and tell of your power to those around us. We turn to give thanks for your blessings and great provision for Euston Church over these past 15 years. We thank you for all those you have grown in faith and given the Holy Spirit and full conviction in the gospel. Thank you for so many examples and stories of steadfast hope in Jesus, even in difficult times. Thank you for the years of Bible studies and the treasuring of your word as truth and life in our church. We give you thanks for how the faith has gone out from Euston to so many places, and how you've used the sending of people from this church to reach people across the world to serve you, the true and living God. We give you thanks for our current mission partners and the opportunity we have to support and partner with them. Thank you for their zeal to spread your gospel and for the desire of all those who continue to share your gospel here in London, in their workplaces and lives. Father, we give you thanks for the leaders you have raised up for our church over the past 15 years and for their faithful proclamation of the gospel, even when it is unpopular with our current culture. We thank you for their faith, wisdom, prayers and shepherding in times of both joy and sorrow. And Lord, we pray for our current leadership that you would strengthen them with your spirit and grant them wisdom, courage and love. And may we as their flock be faithful to encourage them, to uphold them in prayer and to walk together in unity for the glory of your name. Father, we praise you for providing this building and this location for us in your great sovereignty. And we pray that this ministry would be one that praises you and glorifies your name, bringing many more to know you, to be built up and sent out in this huge harvest field you have given us in central London, especially in this welcome season with many new students moving to London in the coming weeks. Help us to remember that unless you build the house, the builders labor in vain. And so we pray that you would help us keep looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, and to wait eagerly for Christ to return. Finally, Lord, we pray for our world. Following the recent unrest in America and the killing of Charlie Kirk, we pray for peace. We pray that you would quell the flames of destructive and divisive language and senseless political violence and replace them with words that build up and bring healing. Lord, bring comfort to the grieving, justice for the oppressed, and wisdom to those in positions of authority. We thank you that you are a God of steadfast love and compassion, and that you speak directly into the brokenness of our world. May hearts be turned away from anger and hatred and towards the righteousness that comes from you. And we ask that in this time your church would be a light in the darkness and a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We give you thanks that your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and that your dominion endures throughout all generations. Would our mouths speak your praise, and would all people bless your holy name forever. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.